We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know what a lot of people are doing on Wordle now, by the way? They're playing it on their phone, and whatever they get, they get. 3 out of 6, 4 out of 6, 5, whatever, right? And then they go to work, and they go on their work computer,
yes.
And they just guess it right away.
Bro, I just...
Because it's the same word, like, ha-ha, 1 out of 1.
I just did that. And then texted it to Big Mac. No, I didn't. I tweeted it out and showed it to Big Mac. Boy, people must be cheating all the time. Look how simple this is. Because you know, if anybody tweets out, we got it in 1 and 1, no one's going to believe them.
Yeah, I mean, there might be the rare outlier that just guesses a word.
Greg, if you tweet out tomorrow morning, 1 out of 1, not one person on Twitter will believe you.
No, I agree. I'll never get 1 out of 1 because I use the same word every time to start. Score.
Yeah, but what if score is the word?
I guess.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if you legitimately got it on one guess, no offense to you, nobody would believe
it. I like it because it's only one, so you can't go into, like, the Wordle hole.
Right.
It makes you think a little bit, so it kind of wakes up your brain, and it's fun to see, like, how you do compared to other people.
I think you're right, because Words with Friends became addicting, and that was a problem. I would spend hours upon hours competing with people in Words with Friends, and I hated it.
Was that the thing, like, if your buddy, like, went to the bathroom and didn't bring his phone, you'd have to wait forever for him?
I mean, the game...
Come on!
The game could take a month. The game could take a week, or if both of you are right by your phone, the game could take 10 minutes.
Yeah, Dan's in Hackensack on the fan. Danny, what's going on, kid?
Hey, thanks for telling me about the Wordle. I played it in my math class this morning. I was teaching calculus, and the kids were all exhausted. And I told them about the Wordle. They hadn't heard of it, and they got so excited. And they used a very mathematical approach. So the first word that they guessed, I don't remember what it was, but it didn't have any letters. And someone was like, oh, it's actually a good thing. Now that we know it doesn't have any letters, and they're making a list, so we can eliminate all of these letters, and let's get these. So they
so you're like the you're like the coolest teacher in school now. You brought your kids to Wordle.
Nice.
As I try to be, they're really excited about it, but then they were bummed when they saw the countdown. They're like, you mean we can't play another one for 15 and a half hours? We have to wait 15 and a half hours to play another one?
You gotta wait. It also teaches some discipline and patience.
Yes.
I tell you what, why don't you have me come in and speak to the kids and you become really the cool teacher?
It sounds great. Take me offline. We'll work that out.
All right, hold on 1 second. You got it. I'd love to go to Hackensack and talk to the kids at Hackensack.
It does teach patience.
Hey, Tommy, grab his info, right?
I give you an example where I know I have no patience. This morning I watched the show that we love, Big Mac.
This Is Us.
This Is Us.
Don't say anything.
I'm not saying anything, but what I said to my wife is, I forgot what they told us last year. Like, a season goes by and you forget storylines. And I said to her, that's why binging shows is so awesome. You watch an episode, then you watch another, and another, and another. And you get everything all at once, as much as you want it, and you won't forget about storylines that occurred a year ago.
There you go. I don't know what that whole diatribe was about, but...
It has to do with patience and learning that you got to take your time with great things like Wordle or TV shows or other things.
I mean, 45 minutes ago, you were complaining that How I Met Your Father didn't have a character that you fell in love with.
Yes.
After one episode.
That's correct.
So what happened to patience?
I'm still going to watch episode 2.
Oh, okay.
I'm not throwing it away after episode 1.
I'm just asking the questions. That's all. Just want to know. Don't forget, at 5 o'clock today, our weekly WAG Wednesday segment is back. And joining us at 5 will be the, is it the wife or fiance?
Fiance.
Yeah, you know why fiance?
Why is that?
Because he's out of the league right now, so she's not 100% committed.
Is that what it is?
Anyway, Brittany Baldy's going to join us. She is the fiance, my fiance, of a former Yankee and A's pitcher. I'm not going to lie, I never heard of the guy.
Oh, there was no shot.
Yeah, Ryan Dull.
He was a relief pitcher. I think he was a right-handed relief pitcher.
Well, they just got engaged, so.
Played for Oakland, the Yankees, I think.
That'd be an interesting question. Like, the dynamic of that relationship has changed. He was the breadwinner, now she is.
So,
to see how that plays itself out.
Yes.
Here's Chris in Long Island. Chris, what's going on, bud?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Good afternoon.
Great.
So I'll limit the morbid side. You know, my dad passed away about a week and a half ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Very sorry to hear that.
Thank you. But there's a good story. I'm going through tickets and his old stuff. I mean, he's a diehard Met fan, you know, his whole life. And, you know, he's a Seaver guy. I'm going through tickets as I'm listening to you guys right now cleaning. But his story was he was on the cover of the Daily News the day after they won the series in 69 with my uncle. He got caught in school the next day by a nun who saw him smack front and center on the cover of the news.
What are the odds?
He saved his ticket. I had the ticket, the cover, the reprint of the news,
yep,
matted frame, signed by Seaver about 10 years ago. It is my prized possession.
I bet.
The first thing I
Especially
grabbed.
Especially because later in his life, you know, with the Lyme disease and his health, Tom Seaver became a bit of a recluse and didn't like signing stuff or any of that stuff.
He didn't, and he was gracious. I mean, listen, I pointed smack in the middle of the page and said, there's my dad's face. And would you know, Tom got as close as
question.
He could.
Let me ask you a question. Where did you bump into Tom Seaver to personally ask him to sign it?
He was at a signing at Hofstra in, I think, 2010, I think it was.
Got it.
I knew he was going to be there. He was coincidentally at a table right next to Rick Cerrone, who was my dad's college roommate at Seton Hall.
Wow.
But he loved you guys. He loved the show. He loved the Mets. And just had to share the memorabilia.
No, I appreciate that very much. I'm sure every time you look at it, it reminds you of your dad. So there you go. So that's one of those. You never sell that one.
What are the odds that you're on the field when the team wins the World Series? Who knew they were going to storm the field? I guess maybe you had an idea that it happened before.
You have to assume, right?
And then there's a picture of you on the newspaper cover.
By the way, other than a hockey team winning it, the next time there's a championship in New York, the fans are storming the field and or court.
Nah.
Maybe not in Brooklyn.
Oh, of course not.
Maybe not
there
in
are no real Net fans. By the
Maybe
way, 3,000 empty seats last night at the Garden.
Maybe not in Brooklyn.
No, you take
but
a shot,
I do,
I'll take a shot.
I do believe, that's not a shot. I'm being real. That I the next time, again, because you can't
all,
storm the
in
ice.
In all due respect, I'll tell you why you're wrong.
No, I'm telling you.
Because you're not thinking
happen.
About things a certain way.
Well, you're going to put horses out there again?
Well, that's part of it. But also, by the time, and I've seen this firsthand.
Go ahead.
By the time we get there.
Yeah.
The people in the building are not the people.
What do you mean?
The tickets become so ridiculous and so expensive that those that are there are not the true diehard fans.
Oh, they storm anyway because it's fun to do it.
How are they getting there past the thousands of people sitting in front of them who dropped $500,000 in tickets?
Listen, that's like, the way it goes.
It's a different world. Listen.
You storm the field.
I know the Nets don't count, so we have to put them aside, okay? They don't count in Craig's mind, whatever.
I just don't know if Net fans would storm the court.
Because
it hasn't been, you know.
Okay, I'll rip my clothes off in excitement if that makes you feel better.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
There is no way Yankee Stadium. Did the Yankees count? Because they didn't storm in 09. Are we eliminating the Yankees?
For when?
What you just said, winning a championship.
No, if the Yankees win a championship, the Yankee fans will storm the field.
Really?
Yes.
Did they storm in 09?
It was because it was old hat.
Did they storm in 96 when they had a drought from 78 to 96?
Yes.
No, they didn't.
Well, because they put
horses.
The horses up.
Well, what do you think's going to happen this
time? Yeah, but didn't Yankee fans storm the field after one of the division wins?
Yeah, in the 70s.
No. I know the 70s. It
Chris Chambliss.
No, I know.
Okay.
You're saying Yankee fans didn't take the field?
No.
After winning the
ALCS? It has not happened in my lifetime, no.
For real?
I'm telling you.
Well, for some reason, my memory is the reason they had the Wade Boggs horses up was because
we stormed the field
earlier.
No.
You're saying it was because of 78 or 77?
It's because of the 70s, because they didn't want it to happen again. So because of the security and then the clientele is just so different than it used to be, that will never happen. It wouldn't even happen at the Garden. Everybody loves to talk about how great Knicks fans are. There were 3,000 empty seats last night. That won't even happen there.
Those seats were sold.
No, they
weren't. People were very busy.
16,000 sold seats last night.
They were very busy last night. You know what tonight, last night was?
What's that?
You already said, "This is us." Was back on TV. Knicks fans have sensitive hearts.
You're funny.
And emotions. Yeah. Don Keistador says, Mariano Rivera, during Halloween after the 2000 World Series, you know, the one they beat the Mets in.
Yeah, I'm aware of the World Series in 2000. Thank you.
Signed World Series cards for kids.
Yeah, very sweet.
In the neighborhood. You know, Boomer used to do that too, but I thought that was like an egotistical move.
He signed what?
Like, kids would go to Boomer's house when he lived in Kentucky. He lived in Kentucky, which is right on the border of Ohio.
Yeah.
Near Cincinnati. So kids would come to his house in the neighborhood for Halloween. and he would give out autographed cards. And I was like, Boomer, they wanted candy.
I don't know, man. He's Boomer.
But they wanted candy.
Yeah, but it's not as if
Give me a Baby Ruth bar. Give me a Three Musketeer bar.
Here's the thing.
With the autograph.
Here's the thing. If a backup, if Mike Glennon is giving me the autograph card, I'm throwing it out. But if it's an MVP of the league, if it's the star of the team. Like, if you went to Derek Jeter's house as a kid.
Okay.
And he gave you a signed Derek Jeter card.
Yeah.
You would think that's the most awesome thing ever.
I can't argue with you on that. Okay. I would. I'd still want the candy, though.
Would you?
Yeah.
Wait a second. You'd rather have a Snickers bar or a Reese's peanut butter cup over an autographed card of a great ball player in your town?
I think you have to understand where Halloween is. So I think you have to double up on that. I think you got to go, here's a Snickers bar, and would you like an autographed card? Or you let the kid ask for it. Like, what kid would have the balls? Derek Jeter's sitting out there on the front porch.
Hey.
He's got a big thing of candy. He's got a stack of cards. So at least you see it, right? What kid has the balls to say, Mr. Jeter, would you kindly sign a card for me?
I know who would. Anthony Carton would.
Oh, yeah. Anthony would be on his lap.
Yeah.
He'd be like, swing me, Derek. Let's go.
Yeah.
He'd be a Jeter by the end of the day. Yeah, he wouldn't go home. But I'm like, well, not a lot of kids would. Like, it'd be like, that would be like taunting.
Yes.
Like, he wants to sign him. He's willing to sign him.
Right.
But you got to ask him. And the dad can't ask.
It's got to be the kid.
Because I believe, like, when you take your kids, you know, Jet's old enough now, but little man isn't. At some point in the next couple of years, when you take your kids trick-or-treating.
Do you not know his name? Is that why you say little man?
Spence.
Oh, look at you. All right.
I'm just call him little man.
I apologize.
Because he's not a person yet.
what?
Like, when you take the kids trick-or-treating,
yep.
Right now you're probably still at the age where you walk them up to the door.
I do, yes.
Right. There'll come a point when you stay on the curb
right.
And they go to the door by themselves.
Right.
So right now you're in that phase where you're still, what do you say? You say thank you.
Yes.
So Jeter's sitting there.
He's not doing it.
You don't think Jet would ask?
No, I think he would now. I've noticed that.
Ask Mr. Jeter for a card. He'll sign it for you.
I've noticed over the last few weeks or months this growth where he will just say what's on his mind.
I like that.
Offensive or not.
Good quality for a kid.
Like, he said, so he had a play date the other day, and right away, as soon as he walks in, says, yeah, I actually didn't want to come at first.
Love that.
I'm like, what? What?
Now he's going to hurt some kids' feelings. He'll probably get popped in the nose once or twice. But it's a good quality. Better that than being like the kid that holds his dad's leg and won't go out there and talk to people.
No. He did something at school the other day I never did. Like, some kid pushed a girl that he's friends with.
Yeah.
And Jet got up in his face and said, you never do,
Roberts,
do that again. And,
tough guy.
And pushed the kid back.
Nice.
And I'm like, I don't even think I ever did that as a kid.
Well, you're the guy that got trampled by two fans in a Met game.
That's my boy right there.
Here's Craig in Long Island on the fan. Craig, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, how are you today?
Doing good. What's going on?
Man, it's an honor to be talking to you. I just want to let you know I met Hootie years ago back in 92. I was in the Navy, and he was playing at a local bar, and a buddy of mine grabbed a tambourine off the stage and started playing with them. And he was so cool that after his set, he came over and he bought us all beers.
Nice.
He sat down with us and had a couple pictures. A really good guy, really good dude.
He's done something that a lot of people haven't done dating back to the 1960s. He was a part of this huge phenomenon band in Hootie and the Blowfish, left the band, and has had a very successful solo career in a different genre.
Yes.
You know, like, you have to go back to, no joke, like, Diana Ross leaving the Supremes, Smokey Robinson leaving the Miracles, hugely successful groups in which someone leaves the group and has arguably an equally successful solo career, if not better. Not a lot of people do that. You probably could name three. He did it.
It's impressive.
Yeah, so.
Does he get?
He was just a great guy when we met him. The stories he was telling us, and he sounded just like he does on the record. He was just a really cool dude. And being in the service, you know, wasn't back like now. Everybody pumps their chest, wants to give, you know, props to the service guys. He was like that back in the day. Very cool, very calm, and just an awesome, awesome guy. Deserves all the success he has in life.
Well, that's good to hear, Craig. Hopefully he's no longer mad at me after blowing off his golf tournament. We'll find out.
He sounds like such a wonderful guy. How could he hold that grudge?
Yeah. Then I got a guy on Twitter. Seriously, Craig, shut the F up. Candy instead of a signed card by a Hall of Famer? You really live to be a bleep disturber, don't you? What does that mean?
Live to be a what disturber?
You know, duty.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Yes, word. Like, I don't know. What did I say?
Disturber?
Like, what did I say? It's objectionable.
I mean, I disagree.
Candy
with you,
and the autograph. That's what I'm saying.
It sort of sounded like you preferred the candy over the autograph.
Well, I mean, I want the candy. I'm an 8-year-old kid. I want candy.
I get it, but Boomer aside, and I know this is tough to comprehend for you because you worked with him for so long.
Yeah.
Boomer was a star. Like, do you realize that?
Yeah, not to me.
I get that.
Yes.
Okay, so put yourself in the shoes of an 8-year-old.
I recognize that he was a star,
okay.
Yes.
8-year-old living in Kentucky, Cincinnati. He is the star quarterback.
Yes.
He's won an MVP.
I'm sure kids dressed up as him for Halloween.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, so if a kid goes to his house.
Yeah.
And he, even if like a little kid who's right now 8 years old goes to Zach Wilson's house.
Yeah.
And Zach Wilson's accomplished nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to Boomer. You don't think a little kid would get a kick out of Zach Wilson giving
yes,
him an autograph card?
With candy.
No.
Like, I'm not disturbing the poop. All I'm saying is candy and the card.
No, I think you are disturbing the
like
poop.
The fact that you took time to go out there with 50 of your own cards and sign them to give them out, it's a little egotistical. Candy. Now, if a kid requests a card, I think you should always say yes and sign it. They're kids. But that's all I'm saying. Doesn't make me a poop disturber.
Nah, what's that guy's name on Twitter?
I don't know. Paul Weitz.
Paul Weitz, I'm with you, man.
Is Darius on the line? My main man, who I've not spoken to in some time because I don't know if he's still mad at me or not for blowing off the golf tournament. Darius Rucker joins us. Darius, Craig, and Evan Roberts here on The Fan in New York City. How you been, buddy?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, doing well. I told Evan that when Boomer and I went down to do our show from your golf tournament the week after the Masters years ago, we left early, as you know, and I thought maybe that was something that you might still be upset about. So I just want to clear the air and be a man here and say, I'm sorry. I was hungover and didn't want to play.
I accept your apology, and I understand that. That happens at that tournament.
You damn right it does.
Were you deeply pissed off at the time, honestly?
No, he wasn't.
No, we understand that, man. We totally understand that. We go pretty hard at that tournament.
And Craig should be pissed off because the part of the story that boggles my mind is he was going to play golf with the nature boy, Ric Flair, and he turned that down. Like, what kind of moron would turn that down?
That's crack smoking right there. Yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah. Well, I've made some other bad decisions in my life, too. Not just Anyhow, congrats on the Fanatics deal. We'll get to that in a second for sure. And thanks for sending me the Jets shirt. I'm trying to, you know, I just said to Evan that, you know, you did something in your career that I don't think has really been done since you go back to like the 1960s. I said like Diana Ross leaving the Supremes and having a successful solo career. You know, Smokey leaving the Miracles, having a successful solo career. When you decided to break up, you know, the Blowfish and then ultimately go out on your own and do a country album, what level of, you know, fear was there? Can I be as successful by myself as I was with this amazing band?
Oh, I didn't call it. One of the other guys called it.
Really?
Said they didn't want to be in a tour. Yeah, so they didn't want to be in a touring band anymore. And so I decided I was going to go to Nashville. But to be honest with you, you know, at the time, there weren't any African-Americans in country music. There wasn't really any pop guys in the country music doing anything. So I didn't expect much success at all. I was just glad I got a record deal and somebody else was paying for my record.
That's fine.
Did you always love country, or was it simply, I'm going to try this because of what you said? Or was it something that you loved even before that?
Oh, I've always loved it. Ever since I was a kid. Growing up, you know, he always big for me as a kid. Kenny Rogers. It was just I was a big music guy, and I loved it, and I thought it was great. I really didn't think about singing it until probably the late 80s when I heard Foster and Lloyd. That's when I was like, I want to sing this someday. But, yeah, I've always been a huge fan.
Talking to Darius Rucker, he's got this great deal with Fanatics. He has a whole collection of clothes, outerwear, T-shirts, fleece, sweats, and more. The other day I was rocking the flannel that actually Darius is wearing now, with the Jet logo on it, which is awesome. And if you're a sports fan, definitely go to Fanatics.com and check out the Darius Rucker collection. You know, it's funny. You guys were like the go-to band for ESPN for a while. And it kind of went, you know, like when Joe Montana was in the league, it was always, why am I blocking on it? Help me out. Someone working on the show's got to help me out.
What's the question?
Joe Montana was tight with a band from California.
Oh, wow.
Too hip to be square. Hip.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah, yeah.
Huey Lewis
right,
and the News.
Right. So Huey Lewis and the News were like the go-to band in the 80s. And then Hootie and the Blowfish became the go-to band after that. And you guys were always on ESPN. I'm like, there's no way my man's a Dolphin fan and a Mavericks fan and a Reds fan. He's confused. Now you have a Dolphin team that just fired their head coach, and New York Giant fans want Brian Flores to be their coach. What are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Oh, if the Giants get Flores, I think they'll be doing great. I think he's a great coach. I mean, I understand didn't work in Miami for whatever reasons they have, and I'm sure they got reasons, but I think he's a great coach. I think his next stop, he's going to be successful.
Yeah, talking to Darius, I see a whole bunch of guitars behind you. Do you have a go-to guitar, like your favorite guitar? Is there one that stands out or no?
I got this little Martin over here that I play a lot. That it's older, and I pick it up, and I go with that a lot. But I play all these, you know, when I'm writing songs and stuff.
I'm curious. Being around Craig for a year, I've noticed, and I think this kills him inside when he gets it. We'll be around, and someone will go to him and say, "Hey, Craig, I didn't love you in the morning, but I love you now." And while it's a compliment, I could see it bothers Craig.
I do get that.
Do you ever get that, and would that piss you off if someone says, "Hey, you know what? I didn't like Hootie and the Blowfish, but man, I love you now." Would that bother you? Would you say, "Yeah, I appreciate that"?
No, you know, I've heard it the other way too. You know, I've heard, you know, "I love you, Hootie." I don't really get it now.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
I don't bother me. I always, every time somebody asks me advice, I ask him what the biggest selling record of all time was. And I think it's right now, it's the Eagles' Greatest Hits. And I think they're sold like 31 million copies of that. And you know what that means? That means that 290 million people didn't like it.
Right. You know, I asked
so, you know, it doesn't bother me.
I asked Bon Jovi this question years ago, and I asked you the same thing. You know, every songwriter or young undiscovered act or band or group, whatever it may be, you know, wants to make it big, wants that record deal, wants to hear their song on the radio and tour that song and have, you know, 30,000, 20,000 people screaming, you know, people know every single word for it. And then there comes a point where you want to put out another album, but people only want to hear the songs they know, the hits. And I once asked Bon Jovi this. I said, "Do you ever feel like you become a prisoner of your own success?" And he was like, "Yeah, in a way, because, you know, he put out a country album, but no one wanted to hear it. We wanted to hear Slippery When Wet." And I wonder, at any point, did you guys feel that way, or did you feel that way, where if you didn't play a certain song, people got pissed at a concert, and you became a prisoner to the song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those first four songs on our first record, we were prisoners of those. We have to play those songs every night. If we don't, you know, people complain and people are angry. And, I mean, I understand it. You know, I mean, they also afford you to play all those other 22 songs you're playing. So, you know, yeah, you do it. And we're not that band, and I'm not that guy who doesn't like to play a set. I like to play them. I love the reaction. I love how happy it makes the crowd. So, yeah, definitely prisoners to the success.
How did you hook up with Fanatics? What's the background? You one day just woke up, had this epiphany for type of clothing you liked and called Michael Rubin up and said, "Let's do it," or something else?
I wish. You know, they gave me a call, and I love the idea so much. And I'm such a huge NFL fan. And I couldn't believe that, you know, my logo was going to be next to the NFL's. And so for me, when I was asked, it was a no-brainer. I would have done whatever they wanted me to do. So I'm just excited to be a part of it. And I'm excited to be a part of anything with the NFL on it. And you know, I love all the clothes. I wear them all the time. I think they're great. So this has been a cool thing for me.
And it's been successful. I mean, you only launched in November. You've been a top 10 selling apparel brand on Fanatics, which is the go-to for all sports, you know, licensed sports gear. So it's one thing for you to make it and you like it, or your buddies or family like it. People like it. Like, people you'll never meet in your life decided they like your brand. That's got to be as satisfying as a hit record, I would think.
Oh, it is pretty. It's so satisfying when people come on social media and then, you know, "I just got the fleece," or "I just got this jacket," or "I just got this." And they show me pictures of them in it. I just think that's awesome. And like you said, man, you know, this is my line. And seeing people that I'll probably never meet buy it and like it as much as they do, is pretty awesome.
Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this when you were younger, but you and I had a connection that you'll never remember, nor should you remember. I want to be clear. I'm not calling you out on it. I want to go back we're going to go back now to 1995-96, okay?
Wow. I don't remember much about that, but okay.
I'm living in Philadelphia doing sports talk radio in Philly, and I become really good friends with a kid from South Carolina. We become roommates. We hit it off. And his best friend growing up is a guy that just put out an album. And it's a really good album, and it's starting to get some play. And the first hit from that album has a guest appearance by Darius Rucker. And I'm like, no way. I go, I'm a huge fan of Darius, and Hootie, you guys are just becoming like a huge mega group. And his buddy comes up to Philly. We spend the weekend together. And he goes, I'll get Darius on the phone right now. He never got you on the phone. But the name of the song was Solitude. And, of course, I'm talking about Edwin McCain. Yeah, that's
absolutely
right. How did that come about? Did you guys, you didn't grow up together, but you must have been in the same circuit playing together, yeah?
Yeah, we played tons together. We actually gave Edwin a start. We saw him playing at the Tiki Hut in Hilton Head and just freaked out at how great he was. And as soon as we started making it, we took him on tour with us, and he got a record deal and stuff. And he's my brother. I just think he's one of the most talented people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, he's been through it pretty good, but came out the other side aces and is doing great.
Oh, yeah.
And is a good, good guy. And I've experienced, you know, with addiction now myself, so I have great respect for people that come through it and kick its ass and still, you know, live a life worth living. He's one of those guys who I have a great admiration and respect for. But I remember hearing, you know, Solitude for the first time, when I go, Darius Rucker, no way. He's like, yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. I get him on the phone. He's like, no problem. I'll get him on the phone right now. An hour later, you never picked up.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right, before we let you go, music-wise, what's coming up next? I know you had Beers and Sunshine. We got another single coming out or no?
Yeah, I'm working on one right now. I'm going to be putting some out here in the next month or so, and hopefully my record comes out in the spring or something like that. I'm finishing it up right now, and you know, I got my tour. I got my theater tour that I'm starting in February through March, so I'm looking forward to that a lot.
How good is it to be back on tour after the pandemic and not being able to do that for so long?
Awesome. You know, we Hootie's doing this thing in Cancun, and you know, you have a small minority of people yelling, don't play. And, it's, you know, you got everybody going, if you don't play it, I'm going to kill you. I got a babysitter. So it's been a crazy decision to have to make, but I'm glad I didn't have to make it.
Well, listen, I know the tour is going to hit New York at some point this spring. So when you do, we'd love to see you in person and swing by and say hi. And a continued success, not just musically, but with the clothing line over at Fanatics. And anytime I can return the favor, you know, count me in. And it's always good seeing you, pal.
Well, great talking to you, you guys, too. Y'all take care.
Last thing before you go. Last thing.
Yeah.
Who's your Super Bowl prediction? Let me hear it.
That's a tough one. Tough one. For my boy, I'm going to go Green Bay. And this is my upset. This is my upset. Green Bay and the Bills.
Green Bay, Buffalo, and the winner is?
Green Bay.
All right.
Yeah, Buffalo's going to blow.
Little chalk there. Little chalk, but we'll let it go. ID, be good. Be good, pal. Talk to you. We'll see you when you come to New York, okay?
Take care, you guys.
All see you later.
Darius Rucker, better known to a lot of you, is, of course, Hootie and the Blowfish. And you can check out his clothing line, the Darius Rucker Collection on Fanatics. And all good. Good dude.
I don't know if this is going to make you feel better. The NBA just announced that the official screwed up yesterday twice in a big moment in the Knicks game.
Well, the foul right in front of the referee, R.J. Barrett, flattened.
D'Angelo Russell should have been called a foul after R.J. forced the turnover with 22 seconds left. And then there was a foul that should have been called on Karl Anthony Towns with about 35 seconds to go. So the NBA admits, and they do this, and I like this, not that it's going to make you feel better, that, yes, the officials did bleep up a little bit down the stretch.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I appreciate the admission, but it was it.
No, it doesn't make you feel better.
Yeah, like what's it's like? It's almost like there was the girl you thought you had a shot with, but you didn't ask.
Right.
And then like a week later, you see her, and she's like, "Just so you know, if you had asked me, I would have said yes."
Yeah.
And you're like, "How about tonight?"
You know why I like it though? You remember during the Knick game a few months ago, there was controversy about the James Harden travel. That I said wasn't. I thought it was a jump stop. You said it was a travel. We debated it.
Yeah.
What's great about the 2-minute report is it gives you the league's answer. Now, that may not convince you or me.
Sure, sure.
But you so for anyone who said, hey, that was not a foul on D'Angelo, at least we get that answer. And I do appreciate that as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, he literally tackled.
No, it was a foul. I admit that.
And it's right in front of the ref off an inbounds play. I just don't understand how you don't call it.
I don't know. And think about what ends up happening. RJ should go to the line where he's clearly going to miss a free throw. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm not going to argue that.
He splits him, so now it's a tie game. Minnesota ball, 20 seconds to go. What do you think happens?
I mean, the way it went last night, we're going to lose.
Who knows?
We're going to foul somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Someone gets fouled.
We committed 3 fouls on their first possession of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So no joke, a minute into the fourth quarter, we're already sitting on 3 fouls.
Yep.
Like, you're guaranteeing that they're going to be in the bonus for at least half of the fourth quarter.
Both of 2 of them were by Grimes, too, just rookie mistakes.
What was I thinking? Ticky-tack call on Taj? But whatever. We committed 3 fouls on their first possession of the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, you're not going to win close games that way. You just can't.
I'm not saying
I didn't think they were all good calls. And yes, the Knicks had a chance to win the game, but you're setting yourself up for just giving away free points.
Dumb fouls, there were brutal turnovers, and there were missed free throws. And when you combine that, you get that loss that you had last night.
Mike McCarthy's come out and spoken, and he said he has had very positive conversations with Jerry Jones. Stephen Jones even came out yesterday and said, Mike McCarthy's our coach. Now, that doesn't mean anything ultimately, but McCarthy feels like, I'm coming back, and I don't see why I wouldn't
come back. I'm sort of surprised. I said this after that game that they would wait a few days, they'd fire McCarthy, they'd promote Kellen Moore, who may get a head coaching job. I'm sort of surprised Mike McCarthy's going to survive this.
And here's what's interesting about it. For those of you that are Cowboy fans, there is a better than 50-50 shot now that McCarthy does return without Dan Quinn and without Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I mean,
he may need 2 new coordinators.
They're both hot coaching candidates.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, who knows? I think Quinn's a lock for a job. I don't know if Kellen Moore is.
Why is he a lock for a job?
Just based on, the tea leaves I've been reading.
I hear the same reports. I agree. I don't see it.
I don't know because...
I got to tell you, I don't see it.
I think people look at what happened in Atlanta, Super Bowl side, and then look at what he built with all the turnovers this year, defensively with the Cowboys, and say, wow, he's been a head coach, took a team to a Super Bowl, albeit the greatest Super Bowl collapse in history, and look what he did with the Dallas Cowboys.
I would not want him if I'm the New York Giants.
I wouldn't want him either.
As a team that's hiring a head coach, I would not be interested.
But I understand why he's being well thought of.
Yeah, I guess.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to work in his second tour of duty as a head coach.
Well, you know what? You figure whatever he did wrong his first time around, you fix those things. Like, Joe Judge said one thing.
Pat Shermer wasn't able to do that.
Joe Judge said one thing. Of all the dumb things he said before he was fired, he said one thing that I think got a little bit lost in the shuffle, which I think was the most honest thing he ever said in any post-game press conference. And I'm obviously going to paraphrase it. He said, I learned what not to do.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't say what specifically he messed up or what mistakes he wanted to own down the stretch, but he acknowledged, I've made mistakes, and I learned what not to do again.
It's a great line. It's a great thought to have. Pat Shermer said the same thing.
Like, oh, did
when he
I don't
was
remember
taking
him saying
the Giant
it.
Job, he talked about the things he learned from his first job. And look, sometimes that second job is the right one for you, and I think there are certain guys who deserve a second chance. Raheem Morris, I think, will be a good head coach with a second opportunity. Josh McDaniels, I think, will be a good head coach with a second opportunity. But not all do. I mean, as we saw in New York a couple of years ago, just because you get to learn from the mistakes of your first job doesn't mean you put it all together in your second job.
Dan Quinn's getting a job.
Yeah, I think so. I think he will, too.
What are there, 7 jobs, right? 8?
Well, is the Raider job available?
We think
no,
it is.
No, not yet. They interviewed with the interim today.
But the point is it an opening? Like, they're looking elsewhere, but they could very well bring Rich Bisacci back. Meanwhile, the players are talking him up as much as they possibly could.
Yeah.
Well, how much they love him.
A couple things come out the last couple of days that I thought were great. One in the was it Buffalo? No. There's a video of, Evan, I'm going to block on the player's name, and I'm pissed at myself. There are 2 videos that came out the last 2 days, which I thought were awesome.
Right.
One was the New England sideline in the blowout loss against Buffalo. And there's, I guess, a position coach for the Patriots talking to a player in the Patriots. And I'm not helping you out because I'm not giving you names. And he's like, I love you, man.
Oh, that's sweet.
And he goes, you're going to have a great career.
Right.
And the player's like, I owe that all to you. And it was really a poignant moment. And the guy's like, you're a different human being than the, you know, the kid that got here, you know, early a year ago.
Right.
And I'm proud of you.
Very strong.
And if you stick to the script here, you're going to have a great career. And listen, this isn't a terrible blowout loss. And the player's like, listen, I owe it to you. I wouldn't be, you know, that was a cool moment.
Yeah.
And then there's another cool moment like that.
Is it when Trent Williams told the Cowboy fan, giving him the middle finger, and started laughing at him?
Because
love that one.
That wasn't it. It was the Raiders.
Yeah.
It was the same kind of thing on the sideline of the Raiders with the interim head coach and a player. And the player going, man, I like, this is you.
It does
you
feel,
got us here.
It does like, feel like that. Genuine that the players love him in Vegas. Now, I get why they want to look for a sexier name. Why they would look at Jim Harbaugh. I mean, if Jim Harbaugh's available, everybody should be interested in him. But in terms of what they did, they made the playoffs. They could have won that game. Every player adores him. And just because Rich Bisacci isn't the hot name and he was a longtime assistant coach doesn't mean you can't be a great head coach. Bruce Arians was like that. Bruce Arians was just a longtime assistant, was never going to just be given an opportunity. And there were circumstances that led to it. Chuck Pagano had cancer. Bruce Arians had to fill in and did a very good job. And that was a part of it. So Bisacci deserves that opportunity. But they have a wandering eye.
They do.
See Jim Harbaugh in that thong and they're like, I don't know.
By the way, I want Jim Harbaugh in that thong too. Preferably the Darius Rucker Fanatics apparel thong, which you can buy today at
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Not the best coaching in the world, not great play down the stretch, but that game's over with it now. Nets have the Wizards tonight. We got Brittany Baldy coming up in about 15 minutes as well. Just to finish the thought, since I'm getting buried on Twitter for this, what band came to mind for you right away?
A member? Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, and especially Michael Jackson. The Jackson 5. And then the person goes solo and becomes an even bigger star.
Yeah, well, I guess I could have
Timberlake, Beyonce, and Michael Jackson jump out at me. Am I missing others? I probably am.
There's a lot, yeah.
But those are the three. Is that a fair first three to mention?
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I guess I wish I thought of those three. But it was in the moment. I felt pretty good, pretty good.
Your example was Diana Ross.
Supremes.
Yeah. And the only reason I didn't challenge you is because I thought you were saying she did a different genre, which I wouldn't even know if that's the case.
Same genre, your pop music.
Oh, then I would have corrected you.
No. I'm right in saying Diana Ross. There's just more recent examples.
It shows your age, too. Like, how old are you?
He's not the first since Diana Ross to do it.
No. Well, of course not.
But I'm not wrong that she did it. Yeah. There's just been a lot of people more recently.
Who's the most famous? Michael Jackson, clearly? Probably he has to be number one.
Yeah,
right?
MJ, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Michael Jackson's probably
And then Beyonce's
famous.
Number two, right?
I mean, you could say that Paul McCartney's pretty famous.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't want to bring it up.
Does that count?
But
of course it counts.
I have to ask the question.
Sorry.
Did he have a successful solo career?
Of course he did.
Name three hits.
Please stop.
I'll wait.
No, please stop. I'm not even going to embarrass
Bigger than the Beatles?
No, of course not.
Well, no. But and I was just about to say
Well, you
this,
didn't say.
But I would
you
say
said
this.
Successful.
Would you
no,
agree
he did not get
that Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake, and Beyonce, all three, are bigger as solo stars than they were in their
I don't
bands.
Know if Justin Timberlake is necessarily bigger than NSYNC was. NSYNC
yes,
was
he is.
Huge when it
yes,
did.
He
no,
is.
I don't know.
He's
right,
a superstar.
Close.
No, but it's close.
Well, he's got into movies.
He probably
and
is, but it's close.
That's true. I mean, I am including that.
No, he probably is, but it's closer.
Well, superstar level, he became more of a superstar solo.
Beyonce
but I bet you if you look at like
Destiny's
album sales and single like sales.
Beyonce versus Destiny's Child.
No, that's no question. She got more popular. She got
bigger. Yeah, I should have come up with that one.
How do you miss that?
Because there's just a thought hit my head that he did something that's not easy to do. But apparently it is. But you haven't named three Paul McCartney. It's because you can't.
I don't want to embarrass you, but I can name.
Okay.
I can name 15.
It's okay.
I can name 15 off
the
top of my head.
It's okay.
I can name number one hits. I can name five number one hits off the top of my
Go.
Head.
Go.
Band on the Run, Jet, right off the Band on the Run album. There's tons. Maybe I'm Amazed.
That's
was
that
three.
Wings?
What?
Was that Wings?
Band on the Run was Wings.
Yeah, so now you're naming another group. You're not naming a solo act, which is my whole point here. That was
oh,
Wings.
Oh, maybe I'm. So?
That's a group.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It's not Paul McCartney solo.
It's Paul McCartney
and
Wings.
That's part of a group.
It's Paul McCartney and Wings.
No, it's a group. It's Wings.
He started another band.
Paul McCartney's never had a single hit as a solo act.
That's not true. Maybe I'm amazed with solo act. Uncle Albert. Uncle Albert Admiral Halsey is a solo.
Uncle Albert, what?
Yeah, Uncle Albert Admiral Halsey. Yeah.
Not
off the Ram album. Okay, yes, it is.
He's getting
so mad. It is a hit.
Don't get mad because I'm making fun of you, Beatles.
My Love. That's a hit.
Was that?
I'm not sure if that's that might be Wings off the Red Rose Speedway album.
It's a win for me. Paul McCartney, Eric Clapton. Okay, you could have given me Eric Clapton. You didn't.
Well, Eric Clapton was actually off of a million bands, though.
Well, Cream, of course.
Yeah, Cream, Yardbirds, Blind Faith.
Yeah, but then he also went out Eric Clapton solo and did Tears from Heaven. Game over. Right?
Yeah, he had songs
before. Because he pushed his kid out the window or something.
Oh, that's
whatever it was.
Terrible to say. No, the kid, his son fell out of the window.
My brother almost fell out of the window. Same story in Riverdale. Yeah. I think they pushed him, but needless to say, they caught him, and he did not fall.
That's good.
All right, so here's... before we get to the wagger of the week, you know, this it's interesting to me when we get ready for, you know, what's going to be the greatest NFL weekend of the year, I think by far. You know how they always go to former players to try to find something to be critical of. So they go to Troy Aikman, who is number one pissed off that he didn't get to call the Dallas-San Francisco game.
Yes, he made that pretty clear.
Even though it wasn't Fox's fault or anyone else's fault, CBS bought the game for $70 million. Pardon me, right?
Yes.
Like, if you want to do the game, Troy, cough up some money.
Right.
Yeah, you know, well, you could buy the game if you want. But he was very critical of the Cowboys not getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb. I guess earlier today or yesterday, he was asked more about the results of the game. And he said, listen, Michael Irvin would have had 10 catches by halftime because they were playing man-to-man, soft coverage. I got the better player. I'm throwing the ball up because my guy's going to make a play.
Right.
So I get that. But here's what I want to follow through on this. He's actively taking a shot at the head coach and the offensive coordinator, which to me, you know, Troy Aikman's got to have a great relationship with Jerry Jones. I'm sure he does, right? He's still in Dallas. I'm sure they're close. I'm sure they talk at the dinner every now and then. Him taking an open shot at the head coach and offensive coordinator without naming them, but that's what he's doing, to me is being done in a weird way, almost like with the permission of Jerry Jones. Like he's almost doing it for Jerry Jones.
You think
Jones,
Jerry wants
opinion.
Him to do it?
Well, you know, he
criticized Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy for me.
I like Troy Aikman a lot, right?
Yeah.
Troy Aikman being critical of the Dallas Cowboys in that manner, he knows is a story. He knows Dallas Sports Talk Radio is probably going wall to wall with it. He knows Jerry Jones is aware of it. He knows Mike McCarthy is aware of it. He knows Kellen Moore is aware of it. So when you do it, you're doing it for effect. Which is why when you said, I'm surprised McCarthy does come back. I am too. But not because of anything else, because for Troy Aikman to publicly attack him, to me, there's a reason behind that.
It can't just be his opinion.
Troy Aikman's been around long enough and recognizes that particularly and specifically in Dallas, his opinion goes.
No, I totally get, and you're 100% right, but can it be genuinely Troy Aikman's asked a question about that game?
But normally Troy Aikman, in my experience, Troy Aikman would respectfully not go down that road.
Yeah.
He went after the head coach and offensive coordinator.
How can you not, though? It's one of those situations, and I totally get what you're saying, but it's also one of those situations where if you Tony Romo it, you embarrass yourself. I thought Tony Romo embarrassed himself during that broadcast.
He was more of a shill.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, he was working for the Russian news agency. I mean, all this, you know why they have their punt team on the field on first down? They're trying to steal a timeout, Tony. No, it's because they're morons. They had a delay of game. They were unprepared. Right. Call them out. And so, look, maybe there's a motivation behind it. I can't say you're wrong, but I think there are so many things to criticize.
I'm trying to think the last time I heard Troy Aikman do that specifically, about a coach and offensive coordinator. Like
in general?
No.
Or about the Cowboys.
Like, what I'm saying is that Troy Aikman still kind of walks on water for Cowboy fans, and his opinion is very well respected, as it should be. He won 4 Super Bowls there. He's the guy, right? So I think he's very sensitive to the fact that, hey, if I come out and say something, it carries a lot of weight here. I don't want to be responsible for getting a guy fired. He came out and basically came out guns blazing.
Right.
So yesterday, 24 hours, 48 hours ago, I would have told you based on the Stephen Jones comment, Mike McCarthy's coming back. Now, he may come back looking for a new defensive and offensive coordinator because those guys get jobs elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I feel confident that Dan Quinn will. I don't know about Kellen Moore as much. Seems like Quinn is a more popular choice based on the same stories I read that you read. But for Troy Aikman to throw Kellen Moore under the bus like that and Mike McCarthy under the bus like that, I think they're all gone.
Yeah. It could, but first of all, just before you get abused, you won three Super Bowls with Dallas.
What'd I say?
Four. I don't need you getting any more abuse. Number two, I don't know. It could be as simple as Troy Aikman's asked a question, and he has a very similar reaction to most of us. Like, that was one of the worst coach football games you'll ever see.
Right.
He brought up the CeeDee Lamb thing to you on our show Monday. I brought up the Tony Pollard thing. Like,
right.
How is Tony Pollard barely getting the football when Zeke admits after the game, hey, by the way, I'm playing with a partially ripped PCL.
Right.
So it could be as simple as Troy Aikman's giving an honest assessment of what was an embarrassing, pathetic, gutless loss. Maybe there's no motivation other than that.
So either he knows they're being fired.
Or he believes that.
And maybe Jerry Jones is just being classy enough, I know we're not always associated with him, to let those guys go get jobs rather than fire them. If you fire them, you got to pay them, obviously. But maybe that's what's happening. But, I now believe that McCarthy ain't coming back.
So you still think Mike McCarthy's going to be fired?
And I want to be very clear. I thought the exact opposite 24 hours ago.
So Aikman's comment has you flipping.
Because Troy Aikman's very calculated in what he says about the Cowboys.
Well, we'll see. And you could turn out to be right about this. I thought right after the game, Jerry's going to fire him. I didn't know how long it was going to take, but I really thought.
Right?
Well, not only that, I think Jerry Jones is a smart guy. He's an entertainer and he's crazy, but he's a smart guy. I think he thinks to himself this basic question. Can I win a championship with this guy? I know he won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, but he watched every game this year. He saw some of the brutal mistakes that Mike McCarthy made. He has to ask himself, am I winning with this guy? And if I'm being honest in answering that question, and I say that as somebody that wanted him to coach my team 3 years ago, the answer is no. You're not winning with him. You're not.
They won a division, but they hadn't won anything else with him, right?
Can they win? Can they get through the layers of the postseason with that kind of coaching? Mike McCarthy that I've watched for 2 years, the answer is no.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you know that your two coordinators are being courted now as head coaches.
Yeah.
They work for you right now.
Now's the time.
Why don't you promote them?
Well, that was my theory to you.
Because,
I said Monday Kellen Moore's going to be the head coach.
Yeah, like if you think the team's regular season success was based on the great job that Quinn and Kellen Moore did, and you're looking at the prospect of they both get jobs elsewhere, do I have faith that McCarthy's going to be as successful a regular season head coach with two new coordinators?
Right.
If I don't feel that way, then I got to pick
either
one you want.
That's why I thought.
Pick one.
And I don't know if I still feel that way because it's Wednesday. I'm getting shaky on it. That's why I thought on Monday he's going to promote Kellen Moore.
Because
he's going to be afraid to lose him.
Well, you could do this. Dan Quinn's my head coach. Kellen Moore's my assistant head coach and offensive coordinator.
Kellen's gone. He wants to, if he's getting a head coaching offer, he's gone.
So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
So right now in this moment, Wednesday, January 19th, a little before 5 o'clock, you think Mike McCarthy's out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I think if I'm the New York Giants, I want to talk to Kellen Moore. How about that? How about that?
Listen.
Young, aggressive, offensive coordinator for the embattled Daniel Jones.
No, I'm out.
I want Kellen Moore.
I want an experienced head coach.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.